It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Welcome back to Magic Towns Italy. Today we're heading to Sardinia, not as tourists, but through the eyes of someone who chose to build a life there from scratch.
You might have seen her on Instagram as American Mom in the Med, Charlotte Fortier Madsen. Charlotte, don't kill me if I didn't pronounce that perfectly. Is originally from Quebec. She grew up in the US and eventually left everything behind to travel through Europe. In the next few years, there was a harrowing succession of moving to Rome on a working holiday visa, starting businesses, surviving COVID, and then relocating to Sardinia without ever having seen it.
So in this conversation, we talk about risk, starting a business in Italy, learning the language from zero, raising children on the island, and what slow living actually feels like when you're living it every day.
If you've ever wondered about Sardinia's slower pace of life, this episode offers a honest perspective from Charlotte.
Let's get into it.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you? You're in Calgary right now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Nice to meet you. Fine. And two things draw me to you, your story. The first one is the sweetness and sincerity in the way you share what happens to you every day. Like, you really do so much while being a mom and an entrepreneur. And now I see you're even learning Sardinian. Second, that you move exactly to Sardinia, which is absolutely, I think, one of my favorite places all over the world. Can you tell me more about your story?
I'm from Quebec, from Canada, the French part. And at 12 years old, I moved with my family to the United States, to Florida. And then eventually I moved to San Diego in California, where I lived for a few years. And I loved it there. But yeah, I went through a bad breakup. I kind of felt for a long time that I was kind of out of place, you know, and I kind of grew up feeling like the United States, Canada is like the center of the world. And I knew that there was more out there. And so I had this need to go experience something else. And so I sold my car and I sold everything I had, basically, and I took a plane ticket to Europe and traveled by myself and did 7 countries in 2 months and fell in love with Italy. I went to Barcelona and got a yoga teaching certification, and then I decided to start in Italy. I had like a working holiday visa, and I was teaching yoga in the park, working at a bar in the evening, and then I met my husband in Rome. We lived there for a few years, I think 3 years, but we lived there through COVID and having our first son. Afterwards, everything just became a bit too chaotic. And we lived in an agriturismo in Umbria for like 6 months. And we loved it there. We were actually looking for houses there because we knew we didn't want to waste money on rent anymore because we had moved, I think, to 12 different apartments since my son had been born. So we just wanted some stability. And then one day we were walking and we were freezing. We were in our boots and I'm looking at my husband. I'm like, what are we doing? Are we really going to live here? It's too cold for me. And I think having grown up, you know, in Florida and California, I was really missing the beach. And so I got online and started researching some of the warmest places in Italy, scuba diving, snorkeling, all this stuff. And then I came across Sardinia. And in reality, I didn't even know Sardinia existed. That's how ignorant I was. And my husband said, well, you're crazy. We can't go live on an island. Like, that's way too nuts. And then within like a week, I convinced him. I was like, look, it's less than an hour flight from Rome. We can go back to our business all the time because we have a cocktail bar in Rome. And yeah, I found our house online before even, you know, ever having been to the island. We packed up our car with all of our suitcases and got on the ferry with our son and our 2 cats at the time and our dog. And we came over here. Neither of us had ever seen Sardinia. So we really took a big risk. And I have been so pleasantly surprised ever since we arrived at the location that we chose, like near Cagliari, turned out being perfect because we're right by all the beautiful beaches, but also near the city. And We found this amazing school where our kids go, and that's bilingual. So they've been learning Italian very well. And our daughter was born here. Now we have two kids. Now we plan on staying here, you know, long term.
You mentioned the cocktail bar. What was your experience in starting a business in Italy? You know, we know that Italian bureaucracy has quite a reputation. So what was it like for you?
So the cocktail bar, actually, my husband already owned when I met him. And that's actually how we met. I went for an interview to work at his bar, and I was the first employee ever. And then we ended up getting together, and then I hired everyone after me. I've added maybe a woman's perspective and touch with the decor and some of the menus and things. He is from New York, actually. Moved to Italy when he was 18. So he has a very interesting story as well. He was a real estate agent and saved up and then opened this bar. Our first business adventure together was in Rome. We opened a Mexican restaurant together, and it took so much work. I was pregnant with our son at the time, and it was right near our bar, so in Prati, near the Vatican. And we were so proud. We got all of our menus. We got the food providers, everything. We were open for less than 2 months, and we were almost turning a profit already, actually. And then COVID happened. Oh. And we are part of those people that experienced that in Rome. Our landlord didn't give us any breaks or anything. We had to stay shut for a whole year, paying the rent every month. And so we really struggled during that year, and we eventually had to sell because it was just such a big loss. Fortunately, the bar, we were able to survive a year paying the rent and being closed. But it's my understanding that like 30% of businesses in Rome went under during that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was rough. Business-wise, yeah, here in Sardinia is when we really started. I mean, when we moved here, we didn't know what we were going to do on the island. And we quickly understood that working in tourism would make the most sense for us, since, you know, combined we speak four languages and we have a lot of experience in customer service. Our first project here, actually, we bought our house, and it was already kind of predisposed for being two houses, like a bifamiliare. So we closed up like the door with a wall downstairs, and we've been renting the other half of our house on Airbnb almost as long as we've been here. I mean, a bit over 3 years now. And that gave us a lot of knowledge and experience in the hospitality sector, especially with people sleeping in your structures. So bureaucracy for that one wasn't too complicated. We have like a commercialista here that helps us a lot. And a geometra. When we bought our house, we didn't use a lawyer. I know a lot of expats don't trust like the local people. So they'll get often like a lawyer that speaks English and stuff. In my opinion, that can be, you know, helpful. It can also be a waste of money, depending on the case. Like, we speak Italian. And then afterwards, our next project was this big abandoned house that was right on the waterfront on the sea. And we would walk by it all the time, and it was so abandoned, and we saw that it was for sale, and we would always kind of daydream like, oh, maybe we could turn this into a B&B, it would be so nice. And one day we finally decided, okay, let's make an offer. And we got it for, you know, a great price. We spent 2 years with the construction crew renovating. I did all the architecture. I had no experience in architecture, but I made all the plans for the inner walls, and they quickly turned into being so much more work than we had anticipated, because when you're building what turned out to be a boutique hotel, so much goes into the plumbing and the electrical and where the outlets go and which way the doors open. Decisions never end. I was more on the design side of things.
The best thing.
Exactly, yeah. It's most creative. And we have another bed and breakfast in the area, so we stay busy.
And at some point you started posting videos about your experience, and now you receive thousands of comments from people that are deciding to move to Italy or are already there. Was it something you planned, or did it develop organically? Like,
yeah, I didn't expect it to gain so much popularity. I started officially a year ago with Instagram. At first, I was just kind of sharing our experience living here in Sardinia. And over time, it evolved into this major tool that I've been using to learn more about the culture and the history of the island, and even the language now with learning Sardo. I've really, really been enjoying being this bridge between Sardinians and foreigners. It's been very rewarding, and I even have like hundreds, if not thousands, of Sardinians every week that are recommending me like different places to go and different cultural events. And so it's really been a huge help in making me feel more immersed in the island and like we belong, because our daughter's born here, we'd like to stay. And I clearly don't look Sardinian, but, you know, I would like to feel more and more like this is home.
You speak an excellent Italian. I saw some videos and definitely that helps even more. Did you already speak the language, or was it something that you've learned along the way?
It's something I learned along the way. So me, myself, I have no ties to Italy whatsoever. I was just random chance that I met my husband here and decided to stay. But yeah, when I was living in Rome, I started through hanging out with my husband and his friends that all spoke Italian. I kind of started absorbing like a sponge, but I wouldn't speak because I didn't have the courage. I didn't want to make any mistakes. Honestly, watching Netflix is probably what helps me the most. I would watch, you know, like Italian movies on Netflix in English, and then once I had them memorized, then I would watch them in Italian. And then when we moved to Sardinia, I had to start speaking it, because in Rome you can get by, you know, you're in Rome, right? So you know you can get by with English easily. Here it's not the case, and with my kids in school and with the workers and with everything, I had to learn and kind of jump into the deep waters and go for it.
That's probably the best thing ever. Like, when you're just learning and you're not practicing in daily life, it's more difficult.
And yeah.
What's the biggest difference you've noticed in daily rhythm of life compared to the United States?
I would say the slower pace of living here. People say slow living and everything, but it's true. It is noticeable in so many different ways. When I was living in the States, it is very much more work-oriented in earning money and buying materialistic things. And so often it feels like it's just a never-ending chase, you know, for happiness. In Sardinia specifically, I have noticed that people can be so happy with so little, and there's not so much this sense of competition, and it's a lot more based on spending time with family and kind of things that money can't buy. Yeah. And those very much line up with my values. Now living here, like, I've attained happiness. Of course, like, there's things that I want, or we have goals or activities planned and stuff, but it feels like I'm not waiting to achieve something, be happy. Like, I look at my husband all the time and tell him, like, I'm so happy. Like, I couldn't be happier. And so I feel very lucky to have found that here.
That's the best feeling ever. But yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. I think that Sardinia is, I mean, even Rome is absolutely beautiful. But Sardinia is something different compared to all the other places in Italy. The air is different. People are different. Like, that, if you love the sea, if you, love, you mentioned scuba diving, you're a yoga teacher, you really feel connected to nature, because that's what matters the most there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not someone that's super, like, in energies and stuff like that, but I do feel like here, like, there's just something about whenever I arrive on the island that I feel good and I feel at home. And I can tell that, like, people, because we host a lot of travelers, and they all tell me, like, wow, like, the Sardinia had such a positive impact on our experience. The nature here is incredible, unlike anywhere I've ever seen, because you get a little bit of everything in such a relatively small space, from the incredible beaches, that actually I've been learning a lot about why the beaches here are so nice. And for a long time, Sardinians were kind of held into the center of the island, and they didn't inhabit the coast for fear of being overtaken and things like that. So that's also just fascinating to learn why the beaches have remained so pristine. But there's also the mountains, and there's these beautiful caves. There are numerous caves here. And so, yeah, there's mountain, like rock climbing. And so there's nature activities.
Probably the south where you live is the best part.
I haven't been to the north that much, but I have heard people tell me like the very north, where it's like all these luxury hotels and everything is like super overpriced. Like a lot of people say, well, that's not Sardinia anymore. It's not like the real soul of Sardinia, let's say. But here in the south, yeah, it's very much so. Like just driving to take my kids to school, like very often there will be a whole pasture of sheep in the middle of the road to like wipe them up to my hand of a head. Yeah. And, like we can go every single weekend, we go into a different nature spot with the kids and have a picnic and go for a hike, and we never run out of new places to try, you know. So I feel like it's a very nice place to grow children, and very safe also.
And that's something that I wanted to ask you, like how has been your experience so far raising your children in Italy?
I mean, our children go to a private school here. I know for public schools that it very much depends on which school and which teachers you get, because there's some that are excellent and there's some maybe that are more mediocre. We have been only in the private system, and we felt like that was the safest bet since we didn't really know what to expect. We really want our children to learn like English grammar as well and all these things in case they ever want to go live in Canada or the States, or to give them more opportunities. But the school that we have chosen, for example, has like an indoor pool, they have yoga class, they have musical therapy. And this is preschool, and they have a chef that cooks everything on the spot, like with fresh ingredients. And they do, like in elementary school next year, they start like philosophy class. And so they do all these things that in Canada, for example, or in the US would be like four times as expensive. So relatively, we find like that we're getting a great educational system here for such an affordable price compared to what something like that would cost in the States. And safety wise also, like we feel very safe here. It's never really a worry, especially going from somewhere like when I lived in Florida, where everyone is kind of carrying guns and there's a lot of incidents in schools and all these things. That's not something that ever crosses my mind here.
If you could give just one piece of advice to experts considering to move to Italy, what would it be? Or something that you would have recommended to yourself at the time?
That's a good question. Definitely to come visit before moving, because I think a lot of people, they maybe plan a trip, but they'll go and they'll try to do too much in a short amount of time. Like they'll do like Rome, Milan, Sorrento or whatever, all within a few days. So I would say to like maybe take a few months to come try it out first, because it's not for everyone. It was for me, but it is quite an adjustment going from having all these materialistic things very convenient, and here generally, unless you're like in the north, it's very much like the banks are closed at lunchtime and there's no Walmart where you can go buy everything. You've got to go to like different shops for every little thing. So I think it's something that you've got to experience for yourself and really see if this like slower pace of living is for you. I think advice, I would say to just do it, you know, because a lot of people I think plan and they want to do it and they never kind of, it's never the right timing, or it's never, it feels like the right moment. It's important to put yourself out there, because if you want a change in your life, it's not going to happen for you. You have to make it happen.
That was interesting. And what stands out to me is Charlotte's story, which is not about optimization. She didn't choose the best region based on data or incentives, which, as you know, is my favorite approach. She tried it by doing, and she found the right mix of climate, values, family rhythm, and pace of life.
Yeah, I think it's also a story about resilience. You know, behind the beaches and the hotel, there were tough times, struggling during COVID, renovation stress, and lots of trial and error. So I really admire her.
She's very impressive. And as a couple, she and her husband have really made it in Italy, as I like to say. And Sardinia clearly works for her. It really sounds like she found the right place for herself. But as she says, it is not for everyone. There's the slower pace of life, the services, which are fragmented, and the seasonality. Those are real trade-offs.
So, yeah, if you're considering a move to Italy, take her advice seriously. Spend real time here, not just a long weekend in three cities, but enough time to experience daily life.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say it. In the meantime, if you do want structured tools to help you evaluate where in Italy you might enjoy life the most, you can use our time guides. Feel free to listen to all our other podcasts we have now. This is our 43rd podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you in the next episode.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 2,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 200 data points per town, more than Italy's statistics authority itself, covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, crime, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.